It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaidan, presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
Welcome back for a summer edition of the Healthy Woman Show. Dr. Zaidan, good to have you on board, as always.
What a great summer we're turned into, right? We're past COVID, and we're ready to kind of get back into our lives, for sure. I don't know that we will be able to stay past this virus, but I'm confident that everybody is going to try to reestablish how a new normal will be.
Right. And we're, of course, dealing with that day to day in our workplace. I know you are as well. We're going to be talking about looking and feeling your best during these summer months. Let's get out and enjoy the weather. Right, Dr. Zaidan? That's what it's all about. And towards the end of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about the year health benefit planning, the end of year health benefit planning, so that patients can have an idea of what they need to look forward to towards the end of the year for their health.
Well, I think that it's kind of important. We've all been a little bit waylaid with, all of our COVID concerns, right? So now it's time to kind of really think about getting our lives back on track. And it's time to start talking about things other than the negative. We've heard so much about the health ramifications and all the death rate and the infection rate and the testing rates and how much tests are being done for this virus. But really, it's time to look and feel better yourself.
All that coming up ahead on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Zaidan, we're thrilled to welcome back Susanna Marcoux, a nurse practitioner at Women's Excellence. I know we've had her on the show before, always a wealth of information. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, we're great. We're great.
I am so excited, Marie, to have Susanna on the show again, because, I mean, we've put out this new concierge aesthetics program, and this is another culmination of a lot of effort to kind of make things, happen for our patients, to get them to look and feel better, like we talked about in our first opening. So, this is a very important priority now for Women's Excellence. We focus this program based on safety, convenience, and customer service. And, this is going to allow us to kind of branch out and allow women to kind of get the chance to get concierge-type service for cosmetic-type procedures in their home, which is just amazing. And then also, we'll be able to offer day, evening, and weekend-type hours for people that work so hard. And it's going to be a great program. Susie, tell us more about it. I mean, I know a lot about it because we've constructed it together. But tell our listeners about it.
Yeah, so one of the great things about, really working with Women's Excellence is being able to branch out ideas and provide different service overviews or service lines for patients. And one of the things that we were thinking about when really honing in on an aesthetics program, especially a concierge aesthetics program, is what services can we offer? The best way to find that out is to talk to your patients. And I would say the top six things that patients really wanted offered were skin consultations. You can have as much work done on the face, but if your skin is not good, healthy, mm-hmm. radiant, you're really not going to get the outcome that you want.
That is so true. I mean, we see that so much in the office with people that have polycystic ovarian disease or just oily skin because of hormonal imbalance. I agree with you 100%.
Yep, absolutely. Second is extractions. Some patients really shouldn't be extracting their own, pores or pimples or blackheads in the home. They get too violent, and then they cause potentially craters or discoloration or scarring long term. Third, and we already currently do this in the office, we have a wonderful weight loss and wellness program. We did decide, Dr. Zaidan and I, that we could potentially move that into the home just for convenience. Fourth, being different types of injectables, think Botox, Dysport. Fifth, being fillers, right? So hyaluronic acid-based fillers for lip augmentation, nasolabial folds, when we're thinking of the Marinette line. And then lastly, again, really honing in on that skin, that radiance, avoiding pigmentation, right? These light-based chemical peels. And why do I specify light, and Dr. Zaidan and I haven't really talked about this, is because we want safety to be a number one concern always. And when we're applying these light chemical peels, this glycolic acid, this lactic acid, we really wanted to hone in on treating the patient for pigmentation, offering them the outcome that they wanted, and maintaining safety. We don't want anyone you know, with a bad outcome.
I think that, you know, we've kind of, you know, hammered in on the things that, you know, people really want. And I think one of the big things that your program is going to be really beneficial for our patients is that, you know, people are anxious to go into a spa. You know, we see these celebrities day in and day out. They, you know, are on pictures. And then, you know, now with social media, we see before and after pictures. So before they were a celebrity and after. And everybody kind of wants to, you know, be like that celebrity after. But the truth of the matter is there's a lot of things that happen in between there. And when you go to a spa, it's like that expectation that you're going to walk in there like the celebrity almost before you ever begin. And that is not the case. This is going to be a very, like, what I would call non-threatening, non-intimidating environment to allow you in your own home to start the process to make you look and feel better. And it's going to be convenient for them. And I think that's really going to be great. But tell me this, I think a lot of people would ask, you know, what about sterile technique? What about the risks? I mean, you know, why would I not do it in an office? I mean, I you know, people will feel uncomfortable. I know we talked a lot about that, but can you make people aware of that?
Absolutely. So one of the benefits of the concierge services that we're offering is that you are having the same provider, you know, a nurse practitioner who's been trained, who's been certified, that same provider that would be providing these services in office, and we do still provide them in office within the Royal Oak location coming here shortly. But that same provider will come to you. So the same aseptic technique that I utilize in office, the same FDA-approved products, the same training and safety measures that I utilize in office, I am bringing that knowledge base, that skill set to the patient home. And I think that's the biggest thing is patients want to feel confident in who is injecting. I mean, this is your face. You know, you need somebody who makes you feel calm, makes you feel relaxed, not only can perform this procedure, but also make you feel comfortable while they're performing it. One of the biggest things, and again, you know, when we are looking at different, you know, risks versus benefits of these different procedures, is that's something that I really like to lay out to patients immediately. I think we've all had that patient who, you know, will show you a picture of this celebrity and say, hey, make me look like this. And I'll really talk to them. Okay, well, what do you know, put this picture aside. You know, what do you really like? What are your favorite features on your face? What are some things that maybe you think could be better? And let's target that, because starting slow, you know, slowly adding services, you know, that really decreases the risks. And one of the things Zayden and I had worked very closely on is a emergency protocol. You know, you are in a out-of-office setting. You know, that means that the same emergency protocol you would have in office has to be augmented slightly to accommodate a concierge service. We've created that. You know, an anaphylactic shock is very rare. You know, I always carry an EpiPen on me. If patients, you know, for whatever reason may not like their outcome, we do have hyaluronidase. I've had patients, you know, potentially come for me from other providers say, hey, you know, this other provider, I don't like what they did to my lip. Can you fix it? Absolutely. You know, these are all things that we provide in office as well as concierge.
Susanna Marcoux, we want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a glimpse into this really, really great program where you are going to be providing concierge service at home for clients to really make them comfortable and really improve their overall well-being. Thanks, Susanna. We'll see you again soon.
It's my pleasure. Have a great day.
The Healthy Woman Show continues here on WJR. Dr. Zayden, one of the great things about summer is the sunshine, but the sunshine can be the enemy. And you've invited Dr. Wendy McFalda of Clarkston Dermatology to join us today to talk a little bit about sun safety. We can still enjoy ourselves in the sun. We just need to be safe about it. Right, Dr. Zayden?
For sure, Marie. I mean, you know, one of the things that we talked about on our last show was, you know, just skincare, and people always asking me, you know, as their gynecologist and you know, kind of their women's specialist, you know, about their skin and what do they need to do, and then their kids, and should they be using sunscreen? And I thought there would be no greater opportunity than to have Dr. McFalda, who has an amazing, thriving practice. She does everything at Clarkston Dermatology, including skincare, skin cancers, aesthetics, and all those things. So, you know, if to have her on the show and actually give us some real info about what's the correct sunscreen now that we're getting to July and August.
Dr. McFalda, I know there's been some controversy involving sunscreen. What's in it? How much do I use? Can you help clear up some of that for us?
there's a lot of misconceptions about sunscreen out there, and I would love to clear it up because it's one of the most important things that somebody can do to take care of their skin and keep it looking youthful and healthy. And so my favorite easy way to say it to the patients is SPF 30 or higher every 2 hours when you're out in the sun. Now, we can get into a lot of specifics about it, but that's an easy way to remember it.
It sure is. And how much are we? Now, I've heard this too. You're supposed to really put it on, not just like be conservative about it. You really should put a lot of sunscreen on. Is that correct?
Marie, you're absolutely correct. Yes. So the SPF number is calculated based on people applying 1 ounce to their entire body at a time. And so think about a shot glass size amount that you, that's what you need to put on to get that level of protection. So if you don't apply it thickly, your SPF 30 now functions like a 4. And commonly I hear people say to me, oh, I use the spray sunscreen, it doesn't work. Or I use my sunscreen, it doesn't work. Well, they're oftentimes not putting it on well enough. With the spray, you need to make sure you saturate your skin and then you rub it on. But a lot of people will put it on at the beach where it's blowing everywhere and they hold it too far away so they don't get it on their skin. Sunscreens really work very, very well if you use them correctly.
And
you're an expert. So tell me, what do you use? Do you use a spray? Or when I go to the pharmacy to go buy my sunscreen, should I buy a spray or should I buy a cream?
So, I'm a little bit crazy about my sun protection. So I prefer sunscreens that have zinc and titanium in them, the physical sun blockers. And I look for ones that have a little bit smaller particle size, not the nanoparticles, but the smaller, so they're less chalky white looking. But I battle a common pigmentary disorder called melasma. And so the skin on my face will get very uneven brown. And a lot of women who are on birth control or have been through pregnancies will get that. And so,
I see it all the time.
I knew you would. And they probably ask you a lot about it. But one of the best ways to combat that is a physical sun blocker. So zinc oxide and titanium dioxide are really vital ingredients for that kind of sunscreen for the face. For my body, because we're out on the water a lot, and I like some of the sports sunscreens, and I think the sprays are very nice, and they're convenient for reapplication. But I always try and put my sunscreen on before I even put my bathing suit on, and I use it like a body lotion, and I use a very, very thick layer. And that way I ensure I don't miss that kind of spot by the strap of the bathing suit. So if you can get it on before you get out in the sun, that's very, very helpful.
Great.
And then you mentioned something earlier about, apply every couple of hours.
Yeah, you really do.
I never do that, and I don't recommend that, actually. So tell me more about that.
Well, the sunscreen is doing its job. And so with sweat and with exposure to the sun, it's going to start breaking down. And so, if you think about it, when you're out in the sun, you're moving around a lot, you're sweaty, you're in and out of the water, and that sunscreen is going to wear off and it's going to break down. So those reapplications are really important to prevent burns.
Do you typically do that on like more common burn areas like your nose, your ears, your neck, or do you just reapply to your whole body? Because I know I'm going to get a lot of people that say, how am I going to do that? I mean, I'm out on the boat all day, or I'm in and out, like you said. So, I mean, how do you tell your patients to manage that?
Ideally, you're going to put it on every place that's exposed. And so that's where I think when you're already out, I think the sprays are very helpful because they're a quicker application. They just make it a little bit easier. But I also love solar clothing. And so a lot of the sun protection clothing that has the UPF 50 is very, very lightweight. And it's just easy to throw on a hat or to put on a rash guard if you don't feel like reapplying.
Yeah, I know. I years ago, I got my first shirt. It was like an Omni Shield shirt with with a UV protection. And now I see they sell those almost everywhere in lots of different brands, and they're reasonably priced, and they're light, they're airy, and they definitely help quite a bit. So I'll definitely start to recommend that a little bit more, and recommending this more frequently in applications, throughout the day, and with the spray. Sounds like a great idea for me to start to inform my patients. But tell me this, can you use a cream and a spray on top of the cream? Or is that going to be a no-no?
Well, you don't have to do it immediately at the same time together. But yes, you can put a cream on to start the day. And then if you're out on the boat or if you're out and busy, you can use a spray for your reapplication. That's not a problem at all. In fact, try and look for things and products that make it easy. So for women, now they have sunscreen compacts that it almost looks like you're reapplying makeup. They also make sunscreen powdered mineral brushes that you just tap and you can brush on. So if you're really, I actually really love those powdered mineral brushes for even my golfers and women, because you're busy and you just want to brush something on your face really quickly. And so you want to make it really easy to see and get to your sunscreen so you can remember to reapply. So in the spring, I put sunscreen on the boat. I put sunscreen in my golf bag. I put it places where I'm going to see it and make it convenient to remember it.
We're talking with
That's a wealth of information. I just have one other question because I know everybody asks me this. What about cancer? The Cancer Society came out with these issues with talcum powder and things like that, over the last few years. What about cancer with sunscreen? Because I hear people say to me all the time, I don't like to apply that because I think that stuff causes cancer. Now, I always tell them this. I always say, I know people get skin cancer from the sun, and this is somewhat theoretical. So, now what does the expert say?
Well, all of our evidence points to the fact that sunscreen does not cause skin cancer. And I think if you're worried about it, sticking with the natural physical sunblockers, like I mentioned, the zinc oxide and the titanium dioxide should give you another level of comfort. But certainly wearing sunscreen is very, very important. But I think one of the mistakes that we've made is that we've created these SPF 50, 90, 100, and people put on one application in the morning and think that they are like titanium coated for the rest of the day. And they spend all day out in the sun because they have SPF 100 on. Well, it doesn't offer that level of protection. And so we stay out in the sun longer and we don't reapply. And that's where a lot of the damage comes. So I don't think it's actually a lack of the sunscreen working or the sunscreen causing cancer. I think it's we've changed our behavioral patterns to be out longer.
We're talking with Dr. Wendy McFalda of the Clarkston Dermatology Practice. And Dr. McFalda, if you're unfortunately, I'm one of those people that puts on last year's sunscreen. So we need to check those dates, don't we?
Definitely. And in addition to that, when somebody tells me I buy my sunscreen in the spring and that one bottle lasts them all summer, I know they're not using it correctly. Because one bottle is usually 6 or 8 ounces that should probably last you a long weekend out in the sun. That's it, if you're applying it correctly. So make sure that, you don't want to use old sunscreen, but you really do want to put a thick layer of it on your skin.
Buy early, buy often, and use your sunscreen. You've really been talking to me, Dr. McFalda, because I've just been way too conservative with my sunscreen use after listening to you. Thank you, Dr. McFalda.
Thank you very much. Have a fabulous day.
Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR with Dr. Jonathan Zaden. We're talking, Dr. Zaden, about being really your best self this summer. Look, we've had quarantine. A lot of us maybe have fallen into some bad habits, some maybe. So now is the time to really do some self-care and really look ahead and enjoy our summer and to be our best selves. And that's what we're talking about on the show today.
Well, absolutely. And I think that, our next guest, Jennifer Myers, we had her on when we were talking about the COVID 10 and the quarantine 15 about weight loss. So she's all about making people better. And, in this show, we've already talked about aesthetics and, we've already talked about sunscreens and skincare, but we always have to dedicate a little bit, since we're an OBGYN practice, a little bit of gynecology. So we want to talk a little bit about this new pelvic floor physical therapy approach that we have called Imcella. And, the pelvic floor is responsible for a lot more than we think, and really, Jennifer Myers has been a stalwart in figuring out how to work this chair and provide people great therapy. So on that accord, Jen, talk to us a little bit about why we do pelvic physical therapy with the Imcella chair and explain it a little bit.
Sure. Okay. Let's start off by talking about why we do it. The first thing would be because the pelvic floor weakness happens as we age, as women age, after childbirth, aging, weight gain. Maybe you have some overactive bladder or chronic pain. And what happens is those muscles become weaker and therefore we either can leak urine or we don't have the pelvic floor strength that we desire or we used to have. Those are just natural causes. And what this MCELA does is it's a high-intensity focused, like electromagnetic impulse that you sit on a small chair, and it sends those impulses up into that pelvic floor muscle, the deep muscles, to help strengthen those. It's non-painful. It is more of an intensity contraction or a tingling feeling that you would feel, so it's non-painful. It is can be done for vaginal laxity when your vagina doesn't feel as strong and there's a weakness there, and it helps with the leaking for as we age and we cough, we sneeze, and we have leaking with urine. This is
what about this is basically helping people do Kegel exercises. We've talked, you know, so many years about, you know, people doing Kegel exercises and how to do them. And we sent people for consultations to pelvic physical therapists to kind of get them to recruit and contract their pelvic floor muscles. And this does it for them, right?
Exactly. So we've been telling patients for years, do Kegel exercises. They want you to do sets of 10, 3 to 6 times a day for 3 to 6 weeks to see any improvement.
And the joke was always in this, the joke was always, hey, you could be doing Kegels while you're at a red light or while you're watching your favorite TV show. And everybody kind of laughed about it because, you know, obviously when you're doing a Kegel, you're thinking about what you're doing. And then you're also doing these other activities and nobody else knows you're doing a Kegel, right? But the truth of the matter is that most people don't do them and they really don't know how to do them well, which is why we had to send them for these consultations to the pelvic physical therapists. So in this case, is there anything that anyone needs to know in advance before they do MCELA?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a couple different contraindications. Sorry about that. There's a couple different contraindications on here. You can't do it if you have a heart disease, pacemaker in, if you're pregnant, any history of seizures, any metal implants, any neuromuscular implants. Those are some of your main contraindications for the chair.
Do you need to be experienced in doing Kegel exercises to do MCELA, or can you just kind of come in and do it?
Absolutely not. I work one-on-one with you, and we sit on the chair. There's no, you know, instruction. You don't have to be undressed. You can do this in your clothes. It's not painful, and you sit there for 30 minutes. I think the toughest part about it is you cannot be holding your phone, so you have to bring a magazine or a book to read. Yeah. We're used to having our phones in our hands, so you can't have that.
So wait a second. You have to go old school, and you actually have to read a paper book or a magazine?
Yeah, while you're on there. You can't hold your phone.
Man, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, that took away the convenience factor pretty much. But to be able to do it with your clothes on, right, and all that. How do people feel when they're on the chair?
They have no.
How do they feel?
They feel fine. There's no pain. There's no anything. We sit and have a conversation. It's actually, I've had great testimony on this and great results so far. But they feel great. There's no problems. And
it's the patient has told me that it feels weird when they first do it, but, you know, for the first minute or so. But once they're used to it, they're used to it. And then I actually have patients that said, no, I really want to go back and do it because I feel like it's making a difference. So what has your been, when do people start to get a success with this? I mean, they do it, it's 6 times that they do it over a 3-week period. So at what point do they notice that they're having a difference? It seems like the second or third visit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've actually just this week had one person told me after her first visit that she actually felt stronger in her pelvis. And she was thinking, am I crazy that I already feel this? But she said, I really feel like I'm walking around that I already have strength in my pelvis. So it's 30 minutes and you walk out of there and it's equivalent to doing 12,000 Kegel exercises in that 30 minutes. And people are feeling it. After the third one, I've seen great results. I had a patient that told me she wore a pad day in and day out, 24 hours a day, because if she bent, if she sneezed, if she coughed, if she jumped or laughed, she would leak. By the end of her fourth treatment, she said she could go without a pad.
And that's got to be a big lifestyle thing, isn't it, Jen Myers? That's got to be a big lifestyle thing to get rid of wearing a pad. So many women are chained to that day in and day out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a huge lifestyle when you change, when you're worrying about leaking or worrying about having to go to the restroom and having to run to the restroom. Where is the closest restroom in case I have to go? Always being alert. How long is my drive? Will I have to stop? Now they're going without pads and able to hold their urine. It's huge. Yes. Big.
Well, the areas that I'm really focusing on, because obviously I do a lot of bladder control. People have probably heard that on the show before. If they've listened to, you know, we've had testimonials about bladder control and all the surgical options that we have and injectional options, neurosacral modulation options. We have all those things. What I like about this is especially for the you know, relatively non-complicated patient who's having a lot of symptoms, who is really not so bad that they need surgery. This is a very easy and convenient way to make a difference. Now, if it works, Jen, how do you tell them to follow up? So what's the follow-up regimen? Because I think that the patients have asked me now, even the ones that have had success, when do I have to follow up to make sure I, you know, I keep the success that I have? I mean, how often do I have to do it? And I've been telling them somewhere between 3 to 6 months. Is that what you're doing with your consultations?
Yes. Obviously, they resume normal activities with the idea they won't be leaking, and then probably anywhere between that around the 6 month mark, I think you might want to do a checkup. But if they're not leaking, they're not having problems, they don't need to. They can come in for maintenance or come in if they feel like they're starting to get a little bit less weak there in those pelvic floor muscles. But I said to them, you know, at this point, there is no, you have to be in every other week or you have to come in at any certain time. At this point, resume regular activities, and as you need us, we're here. You know, the chair will be there, you can get back on it and do some maintenance.
Go ahead, Marie.
Jen, in closing out the interview, I just want to quickly get in to for your patients. We're talking about issues with bladder control, intercourse, and even some bowel habits here, right?
You know, we barely touched on the sexual health benefits, and I can briefly touch base on that. But when you're strengthening that pelvic floor, not only are we just strengthening the urinary, you're also causing that pelvic floor to strengthen and causing better intercourse, more comfortable intercourse, tighter intercourse. Their partners are noticing a difference in how tight it is. Easier to reach orgasm. The blood flow to that area is huge. These are just some of the side effects of actually strengthening those pelvic floor muscles. So the sexual.
Why don't we bring one of the patients on to a future show to talk about some of those benefits? I think that would be great. So that would be I think it would be very interesting to hear what their success is and how they've gone through this. So we'll try to arrange that if we can.
And we want to thank you so much for joining us today. Jen, you've been a wealth of information, as you always are. Jen Myers, a nurse practitioner at Women's Excellence. And they need to ask about the MCELA program when they call, correct?
Correct. Yep. Or they can just go to our website at www.womensexcellence.com. And there's a wealth of information on there as well.
Thanks again for joining us today.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
And the Healthy Woman Show continues here on WJR. You're listening to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR with Dr. Jonathan Zaidan from Women's Excellence. Dr. Zaidan, we wanted to spend this last segment on the show to talk a little bit about looking ahead. And I know we're in the throes of summer right now, and we all want to enjoy our sunshine and our summer and our families. But fall's going to be here before we know it. And as we gear up, hopefully full steam ahead, hopefully this pandemic will subside enough that we're going to be full steam ahead. But we need to start thinking about some of our benefit plans for our insurance and some of the choices that we need to make. How often do you run into patients in the office who have questions or maybe for you it's more concerns about their insurance?
I think it's an integral part on how I take care of a patient.
Wow.
I think 20 years ago, you know, when I started, insurance and disability and time off of work was a very minuscule part of the conversation that we had when we were discussing their plan of care. Today, completely different. In many cases, people are more concerned about their insurance, more concerned about their coverage, more concerned about their time off, more concerned about their ability to retain their employment if they have something done, than they are about the procedure itself, which is really a sad event, but it is a reality, and we can't avoid it because, you know, so many times, I mean, I think, you know, people have a tendency to take a passive approach to things that are coming at them. You cannot take a passive approach to your insurance. Your insurance is a tool to allow you to make yourself better, and that's what this show is all about. Mm-hmm. And if you do not do that, proactively. You'll find yourself, you know, maybe with a problem in January or February when you could have taken care of it in a better time period, you know, more advantageous way for yourself.
So you're talking about deductibles, really, because as we approach the end of the year, we need to start looking at those deductibles, those numbers, and what can I still get in by the end of the year, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, you know, this is probably one of the most important things that people, you know, get is, you know, they may have a deductible of $5,000. It might be $1,500. It could be up to $7,000, right? And so they have to make a determination on whether or not they want to get this care done. But here's how it actually works in reality. Let's say that, you know, up until now, you know, you haven't been out that much with COVID and all that type of thing, and you had to do some telemedicine visits, and you really haven't spent very much in your insurance. But all of a sudden, you know, you now are going to go to the doctor, and then you're going to get a few tests because the doctor ran those tests. Those tests might go to your deductible right now. And then if you have a problem, like you have bladder control or menopausal management, or you want to do weight loss, you've already met your deductible part of the way. So you may be able to start the program to help you with your condition and pay very minimal for it, because once you get to your deductible, it's the rest of it is covered minus some copays and co-insurance stuff. Well, you know, that makes a big difference because, for example, let's say you spend $1,000 here in June and July getting all your tests, some of your screening measures, and you go to your doctor, you get your physical, and, you know, they order maybe a scan or a couple of things that, you know, are going to kind of chew into your deductible. And now you've already spent that money. It's money you had to spend. And you want to do your bladder control. Well, at the end of the year, your bladder control or your menopausal management or the Mcella chair that we talked about earlier, you know, some of these types of things, that might be covered. Right? It might be covered and you may not have to pay for it. Whereas if you started that same program in January, now it's full out-of-pocket expense. So I think people really need to pay attention to that, especially now, because I'm hearing so many times in the office that people are really, you know, concerned about maybe not having a job because companies aren't doing as well because of COVID. And despite the fact that the stock market is, you know, doing well and all of these other things, it's going to fluctuate up and down, up and down. And, you know, we may see some significant reductions in the third quarter, and companies are starting to gear up for that. So they're looking at their workforce critically. And you know what? My patients are very smart, and they understand that. They completely understand the fact that they may be, you know, maybe downsized, you know, at the end of the year. So I think paying attention to your insurance benefits and deductibles is probably one of the best ways to proactively do your financial plan. Because if you spend that money, it's no longer a tax deductible item for you. It's just money out of pocket. And if you can get, you know, your insurance company that you've already paid into to pay those charges for you and make your life better at the same time, that's what I call win-win.
And when you talk about flexible spending accounts, which a lot of us have, it's very important. This is money that is pre-tax. And if you have this benefit and your company has contributed to it, you need to really look at that and take advantage of that if that's maybe holding you back to get a test done or to get something done, right?
I can't tell you how many times I hear people, you know, in December coming to me saying, I have this money in my FSA and we don't have the time to get them scheduled and get the test that they need. And their money really goes unwarranted, so they get no benefit from it. And in fact, in many cases, I've had people say that they're going to buy like glasses or other things like that just to spend their money, and they're things that they don't even need. So they're basically wasting that benefit, and that is, you know, obviously a terrible way to use something that's, you know, been allocated for you.
So that's excellent advice. Even though it is the middle of summer, it is not too early to think about how much do I have and will I have in my flexible spending account. Maybe now is the time to schedule that test for later this fall so that I can use that cash and I'm not up against the wall at the doctor's office for them telling me, oh, I can't schedule you in. Really great advice.
Well, I'll tell you even how I talk to patients about this. I know that in the middle of the summer, they are not going to want to do things where it's going to decrease their activity, right? So when I see them sometimes, even for their annual exams in March, right, what I tell them, you know, is I say, make your consultation in August or September. That way we have a few months to work up the condition, Right? And then we end up doing the procedure sometime in October, November, or December. That way, they use, you know, their deductible appropriately. They've used up their flexible spending accounts if they needed to. And they've got the service that they wanted, and it didn't interrupt the summer. It's very important that you plan for that, though, because, like I said, you know, if you don't do it until December, you can't get the testing done. And people don't realize, I think, as much, you know, as they should, that, you know, not everything that we do for them is doctor controlled. People always think that the doctor can, you know, do, you know, they can make it happen. It's really not that case. You have to do specific testing before you do specific procedures. You have to rely on the hospital and in the surgery centers and stuff to have time, and that time has to coordinate with the doctor's time. So even if I want to do a case for a patient or I want to give a procedure, they may not have the access to care, especially now with COVID, because, you know, the staffing at these centers has changed. So it's really important that you're proactive in these types of things. And, you know, obviously, cost is an issue. I mean, Marie, you know it. I know it. We all feel it. So if you can, you know, make that cost as minimal to yourself, and then utilize this great benefit that we have called health insurance in our favor, make ourselves better, we've done something, I think, very, very intelligent as far as from our own personal finances, our family finances, and then, again, in lines with this show, making yourself better. I mean, these are things that you need to do. Why not do them in the best, most advantageous way possible?
I love that you called insurance a tool at the very beginning of this segment, that we as patients need to realize insurance is nothing to fear. It is a tool for better health care. And I love that. And I think it's a great way to frame this whole discussion about insurance. Dr. Zaden, thank you so much again for joining us for the Healthy Woman Show. As always, Dr. Jonathan Zaden with Women's Excellence. You've been talking about being your best self, and you're certainly helping us on that journey.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we have a unique opportunity at Women's Excellence to really help people be the best them that they can be. And every service line that we bring out, we think about convenience to them, safety, and then, you know, of course, having options for all different types of treatment. And that is the most important thing that I think that we do every day at Women's Excellence. And I'm proud to do this show in conjunction with you at WJR to make sure that people are aware that, you know, healthcare doesn't have to be scary. Insurance doesn't have to be scary. Procedures can be done minimally invasively. And ultimately, we can make your life better, and we can do it in a convenient way, because that's not what people have been used to in the medical field. And that's what we want to do at Women's Excellence. So thank you for having me today.
Stay healthy, everyone. See you again next time on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.